You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Let's talk with Anna Glavinsky.
And I am joined on the line now by Anna Nolan, who's going to be talking to us about her carless exploration of the Lake District. Good morning, Anna. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. I hope you are well too. Thank you for this opportunity. Yes, I have penned two very funny books with the Lakeland theme, Lakeland Larks, Laughter and Lunacies, and then more Lakeland Larks, Laughter and Lunacies. But my mountain explorations and escapades occupy only about half of each book because it's full of satire, a lot of it political satire. In my previous interview, I don't think I was very good explaining the origins of both books. So I have formulated an exploration in verse, an explanation in verse. Both books are full of humorous verses. Will you allow me to read it?
How could I say no? Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Writing verses is my craft. Yes, they do require graft, but a comic, by and large. Some are daft, I get the charge. Anyway, that's what I do, and I climb our mountains too, in my Lakeland paradise, which does dazzle and entice. Mine are solitary hikes, walking dales and scaling pikes, but I also lead a group, which is an amazing troop, tolerating all my quirks, crazy schemes and fireworks, all of which are in my books. Are you now on tenterhooks? There is more. For politics constitutes my daily fix. So I thought it was high time that I captured this in rhyme, woven into funny prose, meant to keep you on your toes. And of course I'm a Pole, quite Slavonic in my soul. Culture clashes did occur, many causing quite a stir. I thus put them in my larks where they fizz and give off sparks. You will now be in no doubt how both books have come about.
Thank you for that. Anna, you seem like a right character. And actually, we have something in common. Not only do we share the same first name, Anna, but I also have a Polish background. My surname is Anna Glavinsky, but...
Oh, wow!
Yes, I'm not really in touch with my Polish roots too much. It was my granddad who came over to the UK during the war, and we kept some Christmas Polish traditions, and we also used to speak to his dog in Polish. But that's about the extent of my Polish cultural connection. So that's what I'd like to ask you about first, because you say that you talk about in your book culture clashes between, you know, this Pole living in the Lake District. So could you just go into that a little bit more? I'd love to hear about it.
Well, I mean, for example, I can do what none of you native speakers can do. I can pretend to misunderstand a dry January or bucket list or being sold a pub or a pig in a poke. Stop pulling my legs. I started off saying stop pulling my legs rather than leg. So obviously I do understand the meaning, but because I'm a humorist, I try to weave them, into funny verses. So really, both books are quite amusing. About the dry January, could I just give you an example? May I?
Yes.
Just British winter, lots of rain, which to some is quite a pain, alongside wind, ice and sleet. Yet it manages a feat which is weird, I can't deny. January is here dry. I could not believe my ears and erupted in wild cheers, trying hard to spread my glee. Britons, though, just laughed at me. Why? It seems that some folk choose keeping strictly off the booze. See, so what I can do is what none of you lovely, lovely natives can do. Because, you know, so I make full use of that. I am a humorist. I am a satirist. So you know, the books are about much, much more than just my careless exploration of the Lake District.
But of course, that's something that we can't ignore, that you had a careless exploration of the Lake District.
Yes.
So how did that come about, and why did it become something that you needed to weave into stories?
Well, it came about because I am inept in so many areas. And I can promise you, and one of them was a total inability to learn to drive. Actually, in the first book, Just the Larks, Not More Larks, there is quite a long verse. It's too long for this broadcast. I did try for 6 months, and my poor instructor needed copious amounts of valerian. And, you know, it was most traumatic. I was totally unable to learn to drive. After about 6 months, I abandoned all efforts. But I have been a fell walker since I was 14, first walking in the Tatra Mountains in Poland. So there really was no option. Also, I discovered people only in 2015. I mean, it was a fabulous discovery. Yes, people are really nice. Mm. Because until 2015, I had been a totally solitary person. All my hikes were solitary. And then suddenly somebody enticed me to join one walking group, and then I joined two walking groups. And the people there were lovely. You know, who would have thought that people could be so lovely?
I don't know. I'm maybe need some convincing by reading your book.
That's why I couldn't drive. I didn't know anybody who drove until 2015. So I had no choice but to explore Lakeland on foot, which involved 21 milers, you know, 5,000 feet, 1,000 feet of ascent. So it was quite something. But then when I discovered people, now since then I've been quite spoiled, because most of my colleagues are much more able than me, so they drive. So, you know, I lead their walks and they offer me lifts. But I'd done a lot of exploration just with public transport, largely buses, some trains, some ferries, and the occasional taxi.
And what is it about the Lake District that does it for you? Why are you so in love with the area?
Why? How can you ask? Well, it's breathtaking. Takingly beautiful. I obviously was in love with our Polish Tatras, also magnificent, but Lakeland has its own unique beauty, and it was just the beauty of it. So yeah.
And how did you end up discovering it, and what led you there in the first place?
Yes, well, when I came to Britain in 1981, I was totally bewildered by absolutely everything. And one lovely native said to me, well, you need to try to visit the Lake District. So in 1988 was my first foray here. And I spent 2 weeks when we had wall-to-wall sunshine, but everybody here kept assuring me, look, look, yes, it's absolutely wonderful, but don't think that it's like that all the time. And subsequently, I discovered, of course, that it rains quite a bit. But 1988, and that was it. I got hooked and I decided I must live there. And then it took me another 10 years of grafting in London until I realized my dream when I had my midlife crisis in 1998. And my husband and I managed to leave London and settle here permanently. So now I have scaled all the mountains, the main Wainwright mountains, at least 10 times, the hard to reach ones 10 times, and the average for the other ones 25. And I've led 250 group walks. So yeah, this is my paradise.
Wow, you're fit as well. That's amazing. And obviously, you know, it's very, very beautiful. You're enjoying the scenery. You've fallen in love with the geography, but you've also mentioned that you now have fallen in love a little bit with people and, you know, the funny quirks, they have, these come up in your books. Have you got any little stories or anecdotes about walking with other humans and their quirks?
The quirks are largely mine. I have been blessed with a sense of humor. So I heartily laugh at myself. And I have to say that I haven't had many mishaps. But for example, well, when I lead a group and I advertise something, this lovely, easy shoulder descending from the summit of Sitsandal to Grasmere. And, you know, I just couldn't have advertised it more because the descent is not marked on the map. So they have this amazing leader. Unfortunately, we started as we ascended. There was a pea soup. We absolutely walked in a pea soup. We couldn't discern anything. We could just about make out the summit because it was the highest place. So I keep saying, but you're in for a treat. So guess what happened? Of course, they were not in for a treat because in the mist, I couldn't see the right path. And suddenly this path, which was supposed to be gentle, just goes, becomes steeper and steeper and steeper, and people start descending on their bums. So sliding down on their bums. So of course, by then it was abundantly clear that I'd gone wrong. So, you know, you can imagine the adrenaline, but they were very, very understanding. Or another similar, that was actually in beautiful weather, but the path leading us to this wonderful easy passage was supposed to be really gentle, and I'm chatting with them and laughing and joking, and suddenly, why isn't it gentle? Why are we going straight up? Again, I missed the turning, and it was a stiflingly hot day, and they were all like beetroots, the poor faces, you know, sweat pouring down. So, you know, but it always happens when I emphasize how clever I am, you know, in finding all these wonderful passages. And, you know, it really is meant to, it's meant to sort of make sure that I don't get too full of myself.
And it all sounds very uplifting and very wholesome, I must say. But you also talk about politics, and I'm wondering how you weave politics into such daily stories. How does it fit in your book?
Well, I have to say very, very easily. I mean, for just give you an example, would I be allowed to read just one more verse after I've given you an example in prose? For example, I'm following this path, which, you know, I don't know the terrain at all, and the path looks promising. Well, not all that looks promising fulfills its promise subsequently, such as, you know, all the 2016 promises, the pre-Brexit promises. It's really very easy. Do you think I could just give you one more about all the
visions?
Of course,
of course, go for it.
Okay. Right, so these are Johnson's visions. Single market, easy trade. It will never make the great. We want deals, and that's unique with the likes of Mozambique. Customs union, tariff-free, not with Europe, you'll agree. Donald's gonna go for broke, cutting us a deal, bespoke. We've got nothing, zilch to lose, as we simply pick and choose a most scrumptious juicy cherry to make Britons very merry. This will cushion every jam from a harsh financial one. I've a vision, can't you see? You can put your trust in me. It is clear my deal's a winner. You said, what? I heard dog's dinner. It's unfair and it's malicious. We'll succeed if we are ambitious. None of us, not even Barney, should be cowed by one Mark Carney. Is he British? Is he heck? So he doesn't meet our spec. Our negotiating team will deliver on our dream. Let's hold firm because I reckon all those sunlit uplands beckon. Just one more. We beat Labour, we regrouped after we were badly duped, and throughout we held our nerve. Binds the Brexit you deserve. Now, duped is a play on words because it's DUP, Democratic Unionist Party. So you've got the capital DU and P and then ED, duped. So, you know, things like that are really, really, really easy because my books are, each is a series of anecdotes. Right. So I'm not constrained by any, you know, consistent narrative. And it was very, very easy.
Not constrained by any consistent narrative. Do you know what? It sounds like a lot of fun, a little bit off the wall, but it's been wonderful talking to you, Anna. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye. And Anna Nolan's book, More Lakeland Larks, Laughter and Lunacies, can be found on Amazon or on the Talk Radio Europe bookshop. Or just pop it into Google and get your hands on that book.